Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Just a reminder, there'll be a brief business meeting at the conclusion of the service. It has to do with our missions conference, so if you can't hang around for that, it won't take very long, but that'll happen immediately after the service. Pray for Pastor Townsley this evening. He mentioned this morning, he's in Wallingford preaching at Heritage Baptist Church. I think there's a group from the college that's there. So pray for that service, and they're not far away, but still safety and travel and all. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to start reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the song that was sung and the way it works together with the passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now and direct our hearts to where you'd have them be. And Lord, help us to be open and ready to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, really, it ties in with the end of chapter number 3. Paul is talking about a New Testament ministry, and the ministry specifically that had been entrusted to him. In verse number 1 of this chapter, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Paul's ministry was to point men's hearts towards the Lord Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read," he's talking about the law, "the veil is upon their heart." See, the law could only do so much. The law could only condemn. The law could only show where man fell short. He says, "Nevertheless, when it," their heart, "when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." I was talking to somebody not that long ago, someone who had been saved fairly recently, and they talked about how it was almost like the blinders came off when they got saved. How many of you would agree with that testimony? Amen. And you hear it time and time again from folks, especially saved a little later in life, and they go, "Boy, I lived my life a certain way, thinking a certain way, maybe thinking about the Bible a certain way, but then somebody, a soul winner, maybe through a gospel tract, maybe through a message that was preached, maybe through reading the John and Romans that was left on my door, somehow a soul winner helped point my heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and I accepted him as Savior. And when I did that, the blinders came off. You know, he's the light." Well, probably getting a little ahead of myself here, but he's the light. All through Scripture, Jesus is the light. And when he is introduced to a situation, that which once was dark then becomes full of light. And so Paul was talking about what the gist of his ministry was. It was to point people to the life-changing message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verses 3 through 7, which will be our main text for the evening, he describes the ineffectiveness of a hidden gospel. Did you notice there in verse number 3? He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now that's a tragic thing to think about. You know, the gospel is no less true if you and I never speak about it. If you go out of here, you're saved, and you walk out of here and you go about your day-to-day life and you never once utter the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to anybody around you, you know what? It is still as true as it was the day that you had saved you. But it is inoperative and ineffective in the lives of those people that you never tell. And he says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He goes on and he talks about this concept. And in verse number 7, which is really our key verse for this evening, he says, but we have this treasure. Not we have this burden. Not even we have this duty. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, you could think about the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the churches that God used him to help start. You could think about converts. You could think about Lydia. You could think about the Philippian jailer. And you could think about all of those lives that he touched and that were dramatically transformed, and how God used him even to really kick off the missionary movement of the early church. And Paul would say, none of that had anything to do with me, but it had everything to do with this great treasure that is contained within this earthen vessel. And my friend, as we sit here this evening, I'd like to remind us that all of us who have been saved, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the same treasure that Paul carried, you and I in earthen vessels carry that same treasure in a lost and dying world that we are in. I want to talk for just a few minutes about this treasure. First of all, I'd like you to consider the value of this treasure. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the value of this treasure. You know, it's interesting to think about valuations. Some of you are into watching and following the stock market. I hope you've had plenty of antacids to chew on over the last couple of weeks. I mean, and it's been down and down and down. And there's always this great trickiness to how you value a company, you know, its earnings and multiples times earnings and all that. Everybody was trying to figure out the magic number of how to do that. There's value. There's some people, they spend a lot of time buying and selling things on the internet. You know, they buy something at a yard sale and they go sell it on the internet, and they have an eye for valuations. You know, somebody once said that that one man's junk is another man's treasure. In other words, what I want to get rid of, somebody else might pay me money for it. They might be excited about that. Valuations have a sort of a relative quality to them. If you're a parent and you have small children, I've heard stories like this where, you know, there'll be this thing they have, this little kid has, little blanket, threadbare, chewed on, weird colors on it, been washed a million times. And that blanket is so vital to that young child, or that little bear, whatever, so vital to that young child. And they'll go and they stay overnight at a hotel and they forget and leave it in the hotel. And you hear the story, it's almost like they left the crown jewels in a hotel somewhere. I mean, the things they go to, because they know this child can't sleep without it. And where what you and I would look at and go, boy, that isn't worth very much. Those parents look at and go, I would write a check for my entire bank account just to have that thing back so that kid could sleep. You know, valuations are funny things. So Paul here talks about the treasure that we have. So what's he talking about? Well, the treasure here is the gospel. I already read it twice in verse 3. He talks about our gospel. If it's hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your place here in 2 Corinthians and turn back just a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul makes it clear about what the gospel was, or the good news was, that he preached. He says, moreover, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel that Paul preached. This is the gospel that he talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the gospel that takes the veil off of men's hearts and minds. This is the gospel, and it's this, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's a simple message. It's a simple story. But Paul spent his life, and he dedicated his body, and he gave everything that he had into the ministry of preaching that one simple gospel message. Why? Because of how valuable it is. Friend, if you're on your way to heaven tonight and not hell, it's because of that gospel and no other reason. If you had your life changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because of that gospel. Because he left the throne of heaven. He came to this earth to identify with humanity. He walked this earth. He suffered at the hands of wicked men. He was put on a cross. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He had a crown of thorns beaten down over his head. And he hung there in open agony and shame. And he did all of that to become sin for us and to take upon himself the burden of our sin and to pay the price of our sin. And then he was buried, and then he rose again the third day. He did all of that so that you and I can be saved and can come together in a meeting like this. That is a valuable message, and that's what Paul preached. One way to value something is by how much someone is willing to pay for it. You know, you can have an antique in your home. Think, boy, this must be worth, you know, and whatever. And then you go and you try to sell it. You find somebody on the internet. Says, wow, they're selling it for this. And what you realize quickly is just because they're asking it doesn't mean they're getting it. So value a lot of times is by how much someone is willing to pay. I remind you of the familiar verse, John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That treasure that Paul speaks of as us carrying in earthen vessels, it was a treasure that was purchased by the highest price that's ever been paid for anything in this world. It was God the Father sending God the Son to this earth to die in our place, to give his life for us. We can't fathom what that was like. You know, the only way that we can even associate with it is if we attach it to the value of a man's life. You know, if we were someone, we were to walk out of here after our service this evening and someone were to come careening through the parking lot in a car, and there was a child there, and a man bravely pushed that child out of the way, and doing so put themselves in harm's way and gave their life. Boy, people would rightfully so look at that person as a hero and say, boy, look at the price they gave. But you realize the price that Jesus paid on the cross is even greater than that. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about what he had to do to come to this earth, that he humbled himself, that he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He left the glory of heaven to come to this earth to then pay the price. We can't comprehend the price that was paid for this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. Another way that values are ascribed to things is by the impact that it can have on those that receive it. Imagine right now, if before the end of the service, somebody had credible evidence that they had invented a cure for the coronavirus. You know, that thing that makes everybody do this weird dance when they're greeting each other, you know? My rule of thumb, I've got a bunch of kids. I'm not worried about it. I've probably been subjected to worse, I imagine. I don't know. But if you want to shake my hand, stick it out. I'll be happy to shake it. If you want an elbow, stick it up. I'll be happy to bump it. I saw somebody this morning kick somebody to greet them, and I would rather you not do that if we could avoid it. But if somebody could find it, if they had a cure for that thing, what value would that be? Because of how many people it would help, how many people it would cure. If somebody could come up with a cure for cancer. Boy, what a great thing that would be, and how valuable that would be. Because why? Because of how many people have been impacted by that. It would be valuable. I mean, it would. What price tag could you put on something like that that people wouldn't be willing to try to pay? And that's one way of ascribing value. Well, consider what he said in verses and back in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll pick up in verse number 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Do you notice kind of what pops up continually there? He talks about him lighting the light in the world. The world is in view here. Jesus, in through the scripture, is described as the light. In John chapter number 1, he's called the light of the world. And John, he later declares himself, "I am the light of the world." In Hebrews chapter number 1, he talks about him being the express image of his person, and the brightness that is described is Jesus there. He is the light source. In the transfiguration, on the mountain of transfiguration, when the disciples saw him there, they saw him, as in a sense, light up. They saw him shining, as it were, over and over again. He is talked about as the light, and he is described as the light of the world. You know what our problem is in our world today, friend? Is people are walking around in darkness. Say, why do we do the things that we do? Why do people do the things they do? Why do they push for the laws that they push for? Why do they do things that are destructive to themselves? It is because they are living in darkness. And Jesus is the single light that chases away all of that darkness. You can look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "The Lord is not slack." We're talking about the scope of this treasure and how many people it impacts. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." When the Lord Jesus Christ hung there between heaven and earth on a cross that day, friend, he was, make no mistake, he was paying the price for all men's sins to be forgiven. Say, well, does that mean everyone will be saved? No. There are always those who reject that gospel. But Jesus paid for all men's sins to be forgiven. He doesn't force himself upon anyone. He doesn't impose himself on anyone. But he did make it possible for all men everywhere to be saved. So what does that mean? That means here in Southington, Connecticut, you're never going to bump into anyone who cannot benefit from the gospel. So what about that person that I work with that has those crazy ideas and they're it's just totally anti-God and anti-Bible? You know what? They'll benefit if they'll receive the gospel. So what about this one, or what about the one that believes differently politically? You know what? They'll benefit from believing the gospel. We could go around the world. We could expand from Southington, and we could go to Connecticut as a whole. And you know what the need of Connecticut as a whole is? They need the gospel. You know what the need of New England as a whole is? They need the gospel. You know what the need of the United States as a whole is? They need the gospel. You say, we need more programs and we need more this and more that, and I'm for helping people that need help. But if all we do is help people that need help physically and we do not give them the gospel, then friend, we have left them lacking and left them wanting. Even if Mayor Bloomberg could give us all $1 million. That wasn't in the notes. Even if it were possible for someone to do something fantastic like that, for everybody in the United States, you know what? If they don't get the gospel, they come up short. And you could kick out of these boundaries and you could go from east to west and from north to south, and you could go to Indonesia and you could go to Fiji and you could go to Brazil and you could go to England and you could go to France and you can go to Germany, and wherever you go, you're going to find people that need the gospel. They're in darkness and they need the light. This treasure is valuable both based on the price that was paid for it and also on the scope of those who will benefit from it. And friend, the ones that can benefit from it is anybody who will receive it. We're about to have a missions conference here in a week and a half. It starts. This is what's been on my heart and mind. We walk by, we see cards back there, we see letters back there, we see people that we'll meet, that will come in, that will report to us, and that will give us a glimpse at their ministry. And say, what's our main purpose in all of that? Why do we do that? Why do we invest money into that? It is so that we can do our best to get this treasure to people who need it all across the world. He said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. No matter how you try to define it, the treasure of which we speak holds a value that exceeds anything that is in this world. It was paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, second thing I want you to think about, and this is humbling, think about the containment of the treasure. The treasure has great value, but where is it contained? He says, and we have this treasure, and it's in earthen vessels. Who's he talking about? Talking about us. In a very literal way, he's talking about people. When God formed Adam, he formed him of the dust of the ground. That's what we are on our best day by ourselves. We are just an earthen vessel. On our best day, that's what we are. Might be a rich one, might be a poor one, might be a good-looking one, might not be, whatever. We're just earthen vessels. That's all we are. But God has entrusted this great treasure to those of us who the Bible describes as earthen vessels. It means exactly as it sounds. It describes that phrase there, that term. It describes a fragile container made out of earth. And Paul said this great treasure that's been given to this world, it is contained in earthen vessels. Every born-again child of God contains the greatest treasure that humanity has ever encountered. We contain the glorious good news that is a remedy for a lost and a dying world. In Mark 16:15, when Jesus had finished his work here on this earth, he uttered the charge to a group of earthen vessels. He looked at those men who are following him and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the treasure, give it. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. There's not anybody that won't benefit from it. So I can't witness. I can't give the gospel. Then why did he tell us to do it if we can't do it? A few weeks ago, I talked to another new believer. And they were very eager, and they had a lot of energy about them. And they said, yeah, I got saved. And they talked about when they got saved. They said, I want to witness, but I don't think I do it right. And I tried, and they told a story. They said, I tried to do it right like the week after I got saved. And it was actually in church. Now imagine that. Imagine witnessing in church. That's a novel thought. You know, there's people that are lost that come to church, right? And he recognized that this somebody might not be saved. He said, so I tried to witness to him, and I think I got it all wrong, and then I didn't really see him again. And I'm thinking, who? When he told me about it, I said, you know what? That person got saved recently. He goes, huh? See, what he didn't realize is the power of the message, the potency of the message, has nothing to do with the vessel that is containing the message. The power of it is the message itself. You and I just need to be faithful to realize that we have the treasure. All he wants us to do is to tell people about it. And that young person realized and hopefully saw in that minute that, you know what? I might have fumbled across things, but just a little bit of seed being planted. So there's people, there's times I know kids will be out on the playground and maybe at a park somewhere, and you'll hear them come back and say, "Oh, I tried to witness to that person." Don't stop them from doing that. Say, could a person get saved after hearing a young person give the gospel? They absolutely could. Friend, all of us are just earthen vessels. We have nothing to offer within and of ourselves. It's not given for us to hide. It's given for us to proclaim. Say, well, where does mission start? It starts in our sphere. It's where it always starts. And we can give money that goes around the world to reach, you know, to reach people that we've never met, but what about the people we know and meet? Say, well, I'm not capable. None of us are. We're just earthen vessels. So I heard this person once. I sat in a soul-winning seminar one time where somebody came in and they teach you how to, you know, give you ideas about how to give the gospel. And it was a good thing overall. The negative, in a way, part about it was the gentleman they had come in could sell snow to an Eskimo. So hearing him do it, you're thinking, man, I could never be that polished and that good. And it's good to take classes and refine and learn verses. I'm not discounting any of that. All of that, we should be constantly sharpening our tools. We just need to remember that it's not about us, it's about that which we have. That's what's important. So we see the value of the treasure, the containment of the treasure, and thirdly, the impact of the treasure. Look at verse number 7 again, the end of the verse. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If I think about biblical heroes, the Apostle Paul is certainly one of them. I think about what Paul did and what he accomplished. I think, man, he must have been something. But Paul here was saying, listen, it had nothing to do with me. If I take Paul at his word, which what he's writing is inspired by God, so I have no reason but to take him at his word, I realize that anything that I look at and say, well, it must have been Paul's personality. It must have been Paul's ability. You know what? When I take Paul at his word, I realize that's just me making excuses. Because all that Paul did was he let the treasure out and he let it do his work. In Romans 1:16, Paul would write this. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He said, I'm not ashamed of it. He's just an earthen vessel. So that treasure that's within me, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm willing to let it out. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that saves. Your wit cannot save. Your ability to win an argument cannot save. Your wars on the internet cannot save. But the gospel can save. Nothing has ever been invented to replace it. It's the gospel. You realize the same thing that Paul preached is the same thing that we preach today. Why? Because there's no need to change it. It is the power of God unto salvation. There is nothing else to do. It doesn't matter what your personal background is or what your education level is. If you can deliver the message that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, then friend, you can share that treasure with somebody else and you can see the power of God at work and realize, hey, it's nothing I did. It's all about the treasure that is within me. When we meet missionaries, we've had a couple recently here. One Wednesday night, I think 2 week Wednesday nights in a row, we've heard from missionaries. You know what? These are good men, good families, good. If they were there, and they would be honest, you know what? They would say there's been all sorts of fears. We actually heard in college chapel about some specifics of things that were faced in one of their lives, and And the testimony is basically, yeah, I was afraid. Yeah, I struggled. But then you look and you see evidences of churches started, plural. People saved. People growing in the Lord. People witnessing themselves for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it had nothing to do with the ability of the servant, but it had everything to do with the power of the message that was within. You know what? If we want to change our world, the only hope we have is to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know what God's plan is for the world, but I know as far as the immediate day is, but I know that for every individual that I come across with, he'll change their lives if they'll accept the gospel. So that means that we all have that power within, not because of us, but because of the power of the message that's there. Young families with young kids, I want to see my kids get saved. Just keep them around the gospel. So, well, what should I do? Keep them around the gospel. So I've got a coworker that I'd like to see the Lord work in their life. It's got to start with the gospel. Somebody comes in, they want to talk to us, they got problems. Sometimes, you know, being here on a main road, we'll have people that come in just almost off the street. You know what I mean? They drive by and see a church, they think maybe I can get help there. Do you know where it always has to start? With the gospel. Because without the gospel, there is no transformation. But when the gospel is let out, we see that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Mark chapter 14, we won't turn there, I'll just tell you the story, remind you of it. Mark 14 tells of Jesus at someone's house eating. And he's approached by a lady. The Bible describes it as she had an alabaster box full of ointment. And she did something that was stunning to some of those that were around her. She broke the box open and she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with that ointment. And it created a tizzy and an uproar, and you can go back and look at it later if you choose to, but my point of it is not the uproar that it created, but the illustration of that alabaster box. That is you and I. And we have within us, what we have within us is what really we have that's worth this world seeing. And when we are willing to be broken open, then what's in has an impact on everything that's around us without. Friend, we are treasures. We have treasures within these earthen vessels. So why spend money on missions to get the treasure out? Why young people training for the ministry, challenging, you know, giving their life to the Lord, willing to forsake maybe making money or, you know, maybe, you know, forsake another path of life? Why do that? To get the treasure out. Why stand in an airport? This is hard. I've done it. Why stand in an airport, wave goodbye to family as they get on an airplane and go to a part of the world? Why? To get the treasure out. Why? Because it's that valuable. And it's that powerful that it will change the life of anyone of any nationality who simply trusts that message as it is given. Remember, friend, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Have you kept it contained? When's the last time, you know, think about missions being an international endeavor. When's the last time locally you've embarked on a mission? It might be to a neighbor's house. It might be down the street. It might be to a coworker. We have little cards, invitation cards. They have the gospel on them. They're easy to hand out. When's the last time you made it your purpose to hand one of those out? When is the last time that you've said, you know what, I'm going to let the treasure out because that's the real value. That's what I have to offer somebody. That's where mission starts. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day.